I invite you to take out your teaching outlines as we are continuing our message series through the Ten Commandments. And it's hard to believe we're up to the eighth commandment already. And if you've missed any of the messages, they're all online, even the ones you don't want to hear. Okay, there's some commandments you probably don't want to look at, but look at them anyway. And you can go online or on the app, and you can look at and watch some of those messages. You can go there and check that out. But we're up to the eighth commandment. And I'm real excited about the eighth commandment because even though nobody here might struggle with this right now, maybe it was a past issue, it's something that defines a little bit deeper of an area of our walk with God, and we'll explain in just a moment. But we're looking at the eighth commandment, and as we like to do each week, we're trying to expose the wrong thoughts about the Ten Commandments and also paint a picture that shows what the Ten Commandments are. And so right in your outline, the first thing I want you to notice is what the Ten Commandments are not. The Ten Commandments, they're not a mirage. Think about what a mirage is. You know, if you're in a desert and you're kind of, you know, you look and you think you see a fountain of water and then you go to wrap your arms around it. You ever see one of those cartoons and then there's no water there, okay? It was just a mirage. It was just an optical illusion. And I think sometimes in general about the whole entire Bible, people think that the Bible's a spiritual illusion. That it really, the things that happen in the Bible, they really didn't happen. They're just stories. And they're good for the children, but they don't apply to my life. I tell you what, as an adult, we need the faith that comes from these stories. They're not a spiritual mirage. They're very much real. They're relevant, actually. And when you go to wrap your arms around God's promises, you're not going to disappear. They're always going to be there. And so the Ten Commandments are not mirages of God that are just spiritual illusions. No, they're every bit real, and the promises are true, and they promise vitality to your life, and don't let anybody tell you different. So then what are the Ten Commandments? You're not going to like this next one. I'm going to tell you right now, okay? The Ten Commandments are mirrors. They're ten mirrors. And I don't know about you, but when I'm looking good, I can't wait to look in the mirror, right? You know, when you're having a good hair day, your clothes look nice, and maybe you didn't cut yourself when you shave, guys, or maybe you're thinning out a little bit, you feel good. You can't wait to look in the mirror. And then when you're really looking good, you're looking those full-length mirrors, right? Okay? Same is true spiritually. When we're doing good with God, we can't wait to get things are going well. Okay, God, you know. But when things aren't going good and we're not living the way we're supposed to, God's word serves as a mirror to who we are. Because you know what? We can fake a lot of people out, but you can't fake God out. And the Bible provides a unique look into your soul that no program, person, or practice can do for you. And so the Bible is a mirror. The Ten Commandments are God's ten mirrors to who you are. In fact, guess what? You're gonna break these commandments, okay? You need to know that. You know, you're gonna break these commandments, and it's a mirror to who you are. Jesus actually used this understanding when he was talking to the rich young ruler, and he actually posed to him the question about the commandments, and the rich young ruler was thinking he kept all of them, but he didn't. Nobody's ever kept all the commandments. And so that's the point. The law, the Ten Commandments are a mirror to show us that we need God in our life. They're a mirror that we fall short of God's glory and we need to trust and follow him. And even as we develop our Christianity, we don't need to just settle on hell insurance that we're going to go to heaven. We need to spend the rest of our life developing this walk with God and not take breaks and take detours. And so they're mirrors. So breaking down the Ten Commandments as a whole as we have, they could be broken down into two categories. Commandments 1 through 4 deal with your vertical relationship. Vertical. So write that down. Vertical. You and I are responsible to walk with God. Just as we read earlier, walk in truth. We're responsible for that. You might say, no, it's all by his grace. I could prop my feet up and wait for heaven to come, the heaven bus to come. No. God saved you not so that you can go back to the old things of life. He hasn't given you this abundant life so you can treat him like yesterday's news. He wants you to have a vibrant relationship with him. And so Commandments 1 through 4 teach us how to be vertically connected with God and how very important that is. It's not guesswork. God didn't leave it up to chance. God is in disorder. A lot of people have a lot of wacky different beliefs. God is a God of order. And God in his word has specifically made it possible, so much so that a child can understand it, of how to develop a vibrant relationship with him. And so Commandments 1 through 4 vertically. How to bring honor to God, how to not put things before God. And then Commandments 5 through 10, where we're actually settling in as we conclude this message series, deal with horizontally. okay, how we relate to other people. And you might not think that's important. Oh, that's not important. As long as I love God, I can treat everybody else like garbage. Well, Christian maturity shows up in relationships, okay? It's easy to love the lovable people and the people who look like us and smell like us and talk like us and like the things we like. But God's called us to even love the annoying people, okay? And so that's one side of this. But then there's also behavioral issues, that God has called us to behave a certain way and how we conduct ourselves, whether it be in society, at work, at school, at home. And thank God for these commandments, these principles, these mirrors to show us who we are and where we need to grow in. And so they are God's horizontal commands for how we're to relate to other people. And so we arrive this morning at the eighth commandment. And the eighth commandment is as follows: you shall not steal. Can we say that together? You shall not steal. Now, I realize everybody's going, I don't steal. I never robbed a bank before. Okay? Now, I want you to do something here today. If you have your cell phone, I'm going to give you permission to use your cell phone. Okay? Make sure it's on vibrate, by the way, or any after this, you can turn it off. But I want you to text, if you've ever stolen something before, it's a yes or no question. Okay? I want to take a poll that I'm going to show you the real-time results here. Within the size of our morning service here, I want you to text the numbers. If you're going to text to 37607 in your number. If you're texting somebody, write that number down. It's right up on the screen. And then if you've ever stolen something before, it's a yes or no answer. Okay, no maybe. You know if you have or not. Okay, don't try to trick the poll. There's only two possible answers. Okay, you can only vote once. So the lines are going to close soon. So, A, yes, we see right there, 63838, or no, 64205. So go ahead right now and text the answers to that, and we're going to see what we're dealing with today. We're going to see if we need to lock down the safe here, okay? No, I'm just kidding. So if you've ever stole something, go ahead and do that, and we're going to look at the results right here. The results are coming in as we speak, okay? They're flooding in right now, okay? And I got news for you. So far, there's no no's, okay? So keep them coming in. They're rolling in, okay? All right, have you ever stole something before? Just text yes or no. Let us know that, okay? So we can see if you've ever stole anything before. And I'm going to be honest with you. Don't lie, because next week's teaching is you shall not lie. That's the ninth commandment. So I'm just helping you out here, okay? Helping you out here, okay? All right. Another 30 seconds. Text your answer if you've ever stolen before or not, okay? All right. As you could see, enough fun with that right now. Enough fun with that. If you can understand this right now, look at that. 100%. Everybody's stolen something before, okay? All right? And if you didn't want it, some of you said, you know what? If I text, is my picture going to show up, okay? No, we don't have that technology here, okay? If that was the case, all our pictures would show up, okay? Actually, all our pictures did show up, okay? You'll see a picture of the church one Sunday up there, okay? We've all stolen before, and the results, 100% of those who took this poll right now, live poll, have stolen something before, okay? One of the areas where people steal the most from is hotels, okay? All right, maybe some of you just came off a vacation, okay? Listen to this. This is crazy right here. $13 billion worth of goods are stolen from hotels each year. I mean, that's crazy, okay? That is just, I mean, that's an astronomical number if you think about it. But last month alone, a hotel in Manhattan reported that 38,000 spoons were stolen. 38,000 spoons. 100 Bibles. Now, if you're going to steal a Bible, then you know what? Maybe that's a good thing. Okay? You steal that, you wind up coming to faith or something. I don't know. But if you go to church and you steal a Bible, I mean, you're going to get hit with constipation or something. I mean, something's going to happen to you. I mean, nothing bad, but don't steal a Bible if you go to church. Okay? Just go, you know, that's for somebody else in the hotel, okay? I mean, so anyway. Now, this is crazy, okay? 52,000 towels, one hotel reported. I mean, that's crazy. That's why this number, 13 billion, is so excessive. And people steal towels. You know, somebody, oh, here's a towel from the Hilton. Here's one from the Marriott. Here's one when I was in the Bahamas. Those are not ours, okay? Those belong to the hotel. Now, one company, and this might be a good stock to invest in here, Lydian Technology Tracking, a Miami-based company, has developed a technology that three hotels, and one in Hawaii, one in Manhattan, and one in Miami is using. They have a washable chip that they're putting into the towels and the bedding and the pillowcases and the robes, those beautiful cushion robes, okay? And if you walk out with them in your suitcase, goodbye, thanks for the breakfast, continental breakfast was great. As soon as you go through the doors, it's going to beep. And you might be assessed on your bill with a fine, or they won't even tell you, and your credit card will just get hit, and they'll be able to prove it with that. So, you know, they have to go to great lengths to, you know, because of this. And all of us have taken something from a hotel. I'm going to be honest. One time I took a hanger from a Sheraton because it fit my suit jacket well. I felt bared afterwards. I had to sneak it in the bag because Jen is a lot more spiritual than I am. One time we were out to eat at an amusement park, and the lady accidentally gave us an extra tray of chicken fingers. And I was making out like I robbed a bank. I was walking away. See, I have a problem. And I confess to you of this soul, I would love to rob a bakery. I really would. If I could, I'd rob it. I'm not going to hurt anybody. I just go in there and fill it up. Fill up the boxes, put that pretty little red string on it, and I won't bother. I'll be out of there. So I was about to walk away with it, and Jen said, what do you think you're doing? Okay? So thank God for her. But so, listen, stealing is a problem, okay? And I don't know, listen, I haven't checked. We don't have a poll to check, you know, who's robbed $1 million or anything like that. But schemes and stealing actually define our culture today. There are people who have invested their 401ks, their retirements, their home equity, and have been swindled out of people who promised them incredible returns. And at first, maybe those returns started to come in, but then the returns weren't there no longer, and neither was that person's office, and neither was the money. And so stealing has always been a problem as far back as the Bible. And so when the Bible says, you shall not steal, let's look at the Greek word for this. It's gnab. Can you say that with me? Gnab. And it means to deceive or kidnap. So the word steal actually means to deceive or to kidnap. In other words, to purpose in your heart to try to get over on somebody or something. And obviously, that's not the way that God wants us to live. Why isn't that the way that God wants us to live? Why doesn't God want us to deceive to get what we want or need? Because God has promised to provide for us. And when we steal, whether it be a want or a need, what we're actually saying to God is, God, you can't provide for me, or God, don't worry, I got it. And we're actually breaking a number of standards of God. And probably the biggest one is we're not trusting Him. And so when I look at the Eighth Commandment, I think it's tied to prayer. I think it's tied to being connected to God. I think it's tied to trust in God. And so I want you to write this first principle down. The Bible supports this, and we're going to unpack it. Okay? First things first, trust God. Trust God. Trust God in your life. Maybe in the past you used your hands to do things you shouldn't to get money, and all of us have been there. We're not here to put that up on the screen. Thank God for His mercy and His renewal. But trust God and work for my needs. That's what God wants. Work is not a bad word. Now, we may not like the job we have, but in this economy, thank God we might have a job at all. Okay? I mean, think of it that way sometimes. There's other ways to look at things. But you got to work. God is pro-work. You know, God calls people that work. And whether you work at home and take care of the children, that's a job. Or whether you work outside the home, you know, God calls people to His work who's working. You know, David was tending the sheep. He called him. Moses, of course, what he was doing. Joseph was working. God calls people who work. And so work is very important. And so it's a balance. I got to trust God with my life, and I have to work. God's calling me to work. He's calling me to work. And even if I'm a young person, I'm in my home, you know, I'm doing chores. And I'm not always looking for a little an allowance at the end of the week. I'm doing it because I'm grateful to my family because of what they've done for me. If they want to give me something, so be it. And so that's the mentality that God wants us to have as adults too, by the way. You shall not steal. You shall not deceive and try to kidnap what's not yours. And so God is very clear on this principle, and for good reason. Because when we're taking things that aren't ours, we're actually going against God's system. God believes in private ownership. God believes in private ownership. That if you work for something, you built something, it's yours. You made it. That's nothing wrong with that. Now, God believes in that private ownership. You should be you should share that, obviously. But God is not into us just taking our stuff and whatever with it. God wants us to be a good steward. You know, Karl Marx, who controls 2/3 of the world from his grave, believed in this kind of communist type of way of material possessions. But that's not God's will here. God says you shall not steal. He's not steal what's not yours. God believes in private ownership, and you're to be a good steward of that. And so it's important to realize that, because chances are, if you're stealing for which you have, if you're not honoring God there, you're not going to be a Robin Hood and start honoring God with the things that you steal. And so it's important to realize that. Now, the Bible has a lot to say on this, and we don't have time to go through all of them, but in your notes, I want to draw attention to a few select scriptures, things that you may have overlooked before. The Bible teaches in Exodus 22:7 that we're to make restitution. That if we steal something and we took something that's not ours, the Bible says you stole a donkey, go return it. You stole doves, you stole a lamb, go return it. Go repay it. That you're to make restitution. You'll remember in Luke chapter 19, the story of Zacchaeus, little Zacchaeus. He got up on the top of the tree, and then him and Jesus had this exchange. And Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and Zacchaeus was hoodwinking people and robbing people with the tax, overcharging, whatnot. And so it actually says that he took money and he returned it to people, if you study Luke chapter 19. And so we have the commandment, the eighth commandment of thou shalt not steal, but I want to expand it today, okay? And you'll notice the blind spots that I have to the right of these scriptures. And so overage, okay? Thou shalt not, if you're a business owner, thou shalt not overcharge people, okay? I lost a little on this job. Here comes a sucker. Let me make it up on him. You know what? That's not honoring God. You hang in there. If you own a business, if you're a small business owner, you honor God, you hang in there, and you do things by God's ways, and God will bless you. Okay? Hang in there. Don't take shortcuts. You're working for somebody, you're overseeing something for somebody, you honor God. He will bless you. He will use you. Now, the thing is, I wish God would send us an email and let us know when things are going to break and all that other. But listen, just honor Him. Don't overcharge people. Don't fleece people. This goes for the church. You know, the church is not this church, but church at large sometimes is guilty of fleecing people and putting a guilt trip on with money. We should give because He first gave to us. Period. End of story. There should be no twisting of an arm. But that also isn't a blank check to be a cheapskate and give God the leftovers and the lint out of our pocket. You know, I think it's a pretty good deal that God requires us to report back to Him and give to Him based on all He did for us. And so we need to make restitution in our life. Secondly, it restricts blessing. And you'll remember the teaching out of Malachi chapter 6, where God says, you know, if you're not bringing your tithe to my house, you're robbing me. And ultimately, if you understand the Hebrew correctly, you're robbing yourself, actually. Because if you're putting this distance between you and God because you're greedy, because it's mine, I'm not going to let anybody have it. Well, if that's going to be our approach, you're really robbing yourself, because God wants to replenish that which you sacrificially give over to Him. And as you live to honor Him with your finances, and you realize that it's Him who gave you those finances, that you don't got to wait till you're in a good place to start giving. Let us not forget the widow who had, there was no insurance for her to collect on from her husband that died. She had no kids, apparently, the Bible is making clear. And she gave her last bit of money into the treasury. And she actually, there was different areas in the treasury in the temple, and she actually did it into the canister where you would help feed the poor. Now, I don't think anybody was poorer than this woman, okay? And she was actually taking care of the poor when she did that. And so, you know, we need to understand that greediness and selfishness. The Bible could actually say, thou shalt not be greedy. Thou shalt not be selfish with the money that I've provided for you. In fact, we should be giving so much that we need to say, you know, we need to hire 10 more accountants in the church. You know, the church at large in America only gives 1.9% of its income. If Christians gave according to what God desires for them to do, and as God works in their life and their heart, there is no telling what we can do in this country and around the world. Okay? God is calling us to be generous. In fact, Jesus said it's better to give than is to receive. Okay? So the 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not steal from God. And then Luke 10, you may have never seen this before, but stealing by what you don't do. Okay? Everybody ever heard the story of the Good Samaritan? Let's take an old-fashioned poll. How many of you ever heard the story of the Good Samaritan? Okay? A lot of people have. And you know, you always hear the Good Samaritan. When somebody does something good, even in the paper, they'll say, there was a Good Samaritan. But how about the bad Samaritans or the bad Levites who passed up the man who was robbed and thrown a beating on the floor? They actually, two people passed him up. They're stealing from what they're supposed to be doing. When we're not serving and meeting needs, we're stealing from what we're supposed to be doing. When we're letting excuses and we're letting the things of this world get in the way of serving God, you know, bad things happen to good people. But God promises to work all things together for the good of those who love Him. And a lot of times we let things define us. We need to let God define us. And here in the story of the Good Samaritan, thank God for the Good Samaritan, but there were also other characters in this story who passed a man up who was lying, who was beaten on the floor. And sometimes we steal by what we don't do. And because of busyness, we're too busy. We're too busy to do this. We're too busy to do that. But we have time for other things we want to do. You know, somebody one time told, where you been? Oh, I've been so busy. Man, I haven't been able to do. Have you? I just said, you know, and I'm funny. You know, I try to keep it light. And I said, so you haven't watched any TV in a month? Oh, no, I watched it. Okay. So, you know, you haven't watched any of the ball game? Oh, yeah, I've watched. Actually, I was to the two ball games this month. Oh, wow. Okay. You know, we have time for what we want to have time for, myself included. And so even when it comes to God, God wants to spend time with you in prayer. He wants to spend time with you in His Word. He wants you to contribute and serve. These things grow. Listen, you don't just snap your fingers and you're strong in the Lord. There's these things that God has built into the mix to define you and to strengthen you. So stop making excuses and stop stealing by what you're not doing. Romans 13:9 says it's an absence of love. That when you're not, when you're stealing from other people, you're stealing from God, you're even stealing from yourself, from your spouse, from your family, it's actually an absence of love. And that's the last thing you want to be, because actually the Bible says the greatest of these is love. So you don't want to cancel out the greatest thing of all, which is love. Jesus said the Ten Commandments could be defined by loving God and loving others. You don't want to cancel that out. And then that could be, now we can look at this a number of different ways here. Okay? Lying, which we're going to talk about next week, which we won't belabor now. Disrespect, you know, when we disrespect our parents. And this should be a commandment for kids, you know. Thou shall not be a clown and a fool and give my parents a ticket to an early grave or something like that, okay? You know, children should see. The Bible says, you know, honor your parents, okay? And then habits, you know. I'm not going to have these bad habits that I develop that are going to cause me to be a person that God doesn't want me to be. I'm going to live for God's honor, okay? And then the last one, which is Ephesians and found in Ephesians 4:28, stop stealing and start working, okay? God is big on that, and this is what it says here. Allow me to read the scripture to you. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. By the way, the hands that God made. So that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And you know, it goes both ways. If you have a business and you employ somebody or you're over people, you have a responsibility to pay people. The Bible says a workman is worthy of their wage. But it's a two-way street. You're robbing from your employer if you're late, if you don't show up. That's stealing from the employer. You know, if you do it, if it's habitual, that God says that we're to be diligent people, laboring and working, and we need to take this seriously. Now, all of us are guilty at one time or another of being late, at least, but we need to see if it becomes chronic. We have to look at that as a form of, you know, perhaps, you know, I need to look at that, and that area could possibly be some laziness on my part. And I don't want to steal. I want to be right with God in these areas. Again, these are what we call blind spots. It's not just who robbed the bank today or who robbed the grocery store, okay? These are what we call blind spots, not things we always think of. But the eighth commandment is deep. And so maybe the commandment is, hey, thou shalt not be lazy. Here's another way that we steal. People steal the glory, okay? They want to be known for everything. You know, somebody gives something. Oh, man, what a great thing. I did it. Here I am. I did it. And as I've taught you for years, 18 inches from a pat on the back is what? A kick in the pants. So be careful. If you're looking for a pat on the back all the time, be careful. Because all honor and glory belongs to who? Belongs to God. If you give and you serve and you do things, remember, that glory belongs to Him. Nobody needs to give you a pat on the back. Oh, nobody ever thanked me. Nobody ever gave me an award. There's no awards to give out. You know what? Why don't we focus on getting this award? When we stand before God, He says, well done, good and faithful servant. We need to live with that mentality. Now, I'm all about encouraging people along the lines, and when the church is able to, sometimes we do stuff like that, you know, and it's appropriate to give thanks for people and appreciate people. That's wonderful, but we shouldn't live for that. We don't want to be a glory hog. Thou shalt not steal the glory. We should live for God's glory. And so it's important that we see it this way. We got to trust God and work for what we need in this life. God has gifted you to do certain things. And in the advent of computers and working from home, in the advent of extra education, you know, there's lots of opportunities you even have that perhaps even your parents didn't have. And you want to take that up, you know, and maybe you have certain skills that you can do and school's not for you. You know, don't suppress that. You know, all you got to do is go to the hospital and go to certain wings of the hospital and you'll walk out and you'll realize what a blessing it is to be able to draw breath, to be able to walk, to be able to just do anything. And so you want to give thanks back to God by working. In fact, the Bible actually says, work as you're working unto God. And so I believe you build a strong work ethic by realizing that it's God who's given you the strength to work and that you bring honor to Him with who you are. You know, when Jen and I were away, we were at one of the parks, and there was a man who had MS, and he was one of the greeters. And I thought that was very significant. And I watched him, and he had trouble walking. I mean, it's 90-something degrees, and there he is. He's greeting and directing and ushering people. You know, never limit yourself. In fact, God is big on using your weakness for His glory. Yeah, I remember back in John chapter 9, there was a man who was blind. He was blind from birth, the Bible says. And, of course, the knucklehead Pharisees and religious leaders go, well, who sinned, him or his parents? That was their big question. Supposed to be people who were studied people of God's word. And Jesus obviously said neither. But God has allowed this so that His glory may be revealed. And obviously God didn't cause it. For whatever reason, we know that blindness was prevalent with children because of birthing conditions. But God uses those things. And so God will use your weakness. And whether you get your healing in this life or the next, it doesn't matter. God's still going to use you, whether it's to do work outside the church or work inside the church. But keep this in mind. You're always God's child, wherever you are. Whether you're working, you're on the job, you're representing Christ. Bible says you are the ambassador of Christ. You know what an ambassador is, right? Like an ambassador to another country, somebody who represents another country's positions and values and foreign policy, so forth and on. As believers in Jesus Christ, we don't just leave our faith here where we sat on Sunday morning, but we are Christ's ambassadors everywhere we go. That even means to parties, that means to work. We represent Christ. And you've heard it said before, the best testimonies without words. That people are more interested in how you live than all the things you say. And a lot of times the church is guilty of being a talking head. You know, we just, you know, talk and throw verses at people. How about we live the Bible? You know, somebody once said, oh, I've been through the Bible 5 times. Well, that's great. How many times has the Bible been through you? You know, that's a better question to ask. And so the best translation of the Bible is you living the Bible out in your life. And don't be worried if you're new to the Bible. It takes time, okay? Or if you've kind of stepped off for a while and you've come back in, you got to live out the Word. Thy Word I've hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Not I've hidden on the bookshelf or in my mind so that I can act like a know-it-all. I'm going to live it out. God wants us to live it out. And so trust God and work for my needs. And while you're working, bring honor to God. You're doing the laundry and you're working in the home, give honor to God. You're working at the job, give honor to God. Whatever it is, give honor to God. You're out of work right now and you're wondering when you're going to get that call, whenever that break's going to come. Stay faithful. Don't give up. God has a plan. Keep on keeping on. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understandings. and all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He's a God of provision. And so trust God and work. And then the last area that we want to conclude with today is something that I believe is a blind spot for all of us, myself included. Write this last principle down. Trust God, because that's the key to the eighth commandment. Trust God. Don't go off on your own. Trust God. And we said trust God and work. And now trust God and worship. Trust God and worship Him with my life. Trust God and worship Him. You might say, what in the world does worship have to do with the eighth commandment? It has a lot to do with it. You know, when we see a big robbery on television, you know, years ago you had a, you know, you had Public Enemy, that movie, you know, and big bank robberies. And today, bank robberies are very hard to do. And not that I've tried, by the way. I'm just, you know, putting that out there. But, you know, people now steal, you know, you have internet crimes and cyber theft and identity theft is just an incredible rise in that over the last couple of years. There's all different companies out there. I remember one time years ago, you go listen to it on the website, we did a series called LifeLock, Securing My Life and My Character. You had, back in 2008, you go back and listen to that. And just people just go to great lengths to steal people's identity. And that, first of all, if you're stealing somebody's identity, that's a coward, okay? That you have to go around somebody's back and do that. That's just crazy, right? You're just a coward just to begin with. But, you know, when you see a big robbery sometimes, oh, you know, they stole jewels and pearls and this and that. They stole millions of dollars. We go, ooh and ah. You know, somebody steals some little girl's bicycle, oh, they're $60 from Toys R Us, no big deal. And so we usually equate stealing with the amount of the robbery. But what does the Bible say about us? That God didn't purchase us with rubies and pearls, but He purchased us with the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with the price. So glorify God in your body. God has called us to stop stealing from Him. Who does God want the most? Oh, I don't go to that church. They're going to take my money. God's got concern about your money. He's concerned about your heart. God is concerned about your heart and you living for Him. And stop making excuses. And we all have regrets. We've stolen from God. We've stolen time. And I have a couple things here, actually, that you could write down, okay? We steal shekels. That's something for money, okay? Shekels. We don't give to God, so we steal, you know, from God. Schedules. We got no time for God. Oh, I'm so busy. Strengths. God has given you certain gifts and abilities, some from birth, some when you became a believer. And you got to use those for Him. You don't want to steal the strengths that God has given. You want to use them. You don't want to get to the end of your life going, would have, should have, could have, and didn't. And it's never too late. Moses was 80 before he got into gear, okay? So it's never too late to start serving God. Serve Him from your strengths. He'll use your weaknesses, but line up your strengths and use them. Use them within the church. You know, there's lots of new ministries to explore. Next month, we'll share our 10-year vision. My friends, God is calling us to say, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. But God, I want to spend the rest of my life serving you. I believe together we could advance the kingdom greatly together on Staten Island if we put our talents and strengths together. And then our sores. We all have sores, pains that we've gone through in this life. And God wants to use all of them. But we'll never use them to their potential if we're in control. You're not the owner. God's the owner. We're God's manager. God has called us to manage our life for Him. And when you manage your life for God's glory, that is the ultimate step of worship. There's no greater form of worship than you saying, God, I'm your manager, and I'm going to use whatever you put in my sphere in my life to bring honor to you. My business, whatever it might be. Oh, that's just for the church people. No, it's not. You know, I did a lot of traveling before we started the church to raise resources for the church. And I would stay usually in people's homes who were very affluent. And I remember this one home I stayed in, they actually gave me a map of their home. That's when you know the home is big, okay? Okay? And I was in the West Wing, and my own place was wonderful, you know? And I remember each day, The gentleman who put me up, him and his wife, they come in, you know, I get up, and they had $100 in envelope for me every day. He said, this is your spending money. Okay, so listen, that's not necessary. You shouldn't have, but thank you. You know, but the fact of the matter is they were being extremely generous. Now I thought, man, this guy's just probably just some rich guy in the church, you know, and his life's defined by that. But then I went to the church, and I was hanging out with the pastor, who's a friend, and I noticed there was this man by his side. And he was one of the big, crucial decision makers within the church. You know, it just wasn't about his pocketbook or his purse. The man's heart was dedicated to the Lord. I got to hang out with this guy, and I saw that he knew the Word, and God was in his heart and his life. And so God is calling us to do that. And if God has gifted you to earn money, that is a gift. You know, and you're not stealing, you're doing it the right way for his glory. There's plenty of ministry to do. There's plenty of people who need to hear the gospel. There's plenty of people who need to feel the love of the gospel. And so whether you are gifted in resources and finances, whether you're gifted with your hands to do things, may not necessarily be wealthy, whatever it might be, God wants to use you. And you need to get that through your heart and your head. God has saved you to serve. And the ultimate way that you do that is you say, God, you bought me with a price, and I'm tired of living my life just for me. I want to live it for your glory. Now, all of us have regrets. We've spent a lot of time living for ourselves and stealing from God. And I want to do one last poll, okay? So you can take out your cell phones once again. If you have regrets over stealing time or whatever from God, whatever it may have been in your life, if there's things in your life that you've done that you regret and that you wish you can get it back, do you have regrets over stealing from God? It could be lost time. Lord, maybe you didn't do your efforts. You know, you wasted your efforts on the wrong things. You know, spending more time partying than with God's family, whatever it might be. Again, nobody's name's going to show up, but maybe this could be, earlier we were joking around doing a poll, even though they were serious, but maybe this could be step one in you being liberated from your regrets. Maybe this could be step one, just by sending this message and saying, yes, I've spent time living life in my own ways, and today that stops. You know, we all have regrets. And today's the day that you turn that over, 100% so far. And I think we can keep going. It'll be 100% till the 6 o'clock service, and after the 6 o'clock service, and after that. We all have regrets. But why don't you do something about that regret today? Why don't you do something about that regret today? Why don't you give it to God, whatever they may be, whatever those regrets were, and say, God, I want to honor you with my life. That 8th commandment is a mirror right now in my life more than ever. I could see clearly right now. And I see the wasted time, the wasted efforts. And yes, I love you, but I know I haven't been given 100% of my heart to you. Don't let that regret weigh you down. As I told you before, on a tombstone, the most important thing on a tombstone is not a name or the years, but it's the dash. The dash defines how you lived. And I think that dash, as I showed you before with a visual, needs to have a line through it, a cross. Live your life for Christ. Honor him with your life. Listen, I don't know how many years God has for me left. I don't know how many years he has for you. But you know, we can jump around hot and hooler and get all emotional and then leave here and live like the devil. Okay? We could study the Bible, I can intellectually fill you and give you and parse all the words in Greek and Hebrew. And we go, ooh, I learned this and I learned that. But then not live it. What good is it? Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into what? Into practice. Live this life out for God. And you bring honor to him. And so 100% here. 100% of us have regrets. Well, guess what? Jesus died on the cross. And today his love is available for 100% of us in this room. And his mercy is available for 100% of us in this room. You give God honor for that. And so as we conclude this morning, I challenge you in your life to cash in those regrets. Bring them before the cross this morning and leave them before God. You know, in a moment, I'm going to pray, and then the musicians are going to come to close us in the closing song. Don't anybody run out, okay? After service, and we've done this specifically for anybody who wants to, we're going to have some of our prayer ministers up here. And if you have any things that you need to just give over to God, they will lovingly pray with you and even offer counsel if you need it And so take advantage of that after the closing song each and every Sunday. Our altar care ministers, whether we have an altar call or not, and sometimes God's Spirit will lead for an altar call, quite possibly maybe even at the end of the series, just to bring it all in before God. But today, after the last song, you're welcome to come up and pray with one of our prayer ministers. But I encourage you and I implore you in the ways of God. When the Bible says, "Thou shalt not steal," God has you in mind. God knows that you're bringing Him the most glory and you're the most connected to Him when you're trusting for His provisions, pursuing His presence, and being filled with His peace. That is exactly the way that you want to live. Nobody on the face of this earth can guarantee you the peace that comes from living that way. And so let's give God glory. Say amen if you believe that. Close with me in a word of prayer as we give God thanks. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks and praise, first of all, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who you used to purchase us. You blessed us so much with the blood of your Son. And by His stripes, by His blood, we have been paid for in full. We thank you, Lord, that your last words on the cross actually said it was finished. That was a payment. You said, "I've paid for it all. Here's the receipt." We give you thanks and praise for that this morning. May that truth never become old. And we confess to you our regrets of stealing from you, God. We confess to you the times, God, that we withheld from you, whether it be our time, our resources, our money, our strengths. The times we even let our pains, our sores, and our tragedies and those things keep us from you when we need to run to you and how you want to use us the most. Our regrets in our marriages or our homes. We commit our hearts before you today. We ask that by your grace, today could be a new chapter, a new day in our life, that we live to bring honor to you. May we not forsake church for the beach. May we not forsake the assembly of believers, whether it be on Sunday or prayer or small group or women's group or men's group or youth group or any group. May we not forsake praying for our family. May we not forsake the opportunities to give, as we're going to have in just a moment. May we not forsake the opportunities to serve, realizing what you said in your word, what we've done unto the least of these, we've done unto you. Forsaking the opportunity to contribute to your body, because when we serve the church, we're serving you. We confess to you our attitudes and our actions and our associations there are not becoming. We thank you for your mercy and we plead the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Clean our hearts and our minds and set us anew on a new course, a course of service, a course of worship. And let it be said of us that we didn't steal from the King of Kings, but we gave. May we give all the days of our life, and may your grace give us the strength to do so. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. That he died on the cross and rose from the dead, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We commit our hearts before you today. Let us be defined by that truth. And we commit these prayers in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said,
amen. I'm going to share some announcements as our ushers come forward. If you're new this week, we have something in our bulletins, a commitment card. Go ahead and fill that out and give it to us on your way out, and we'll have a gift for you on the back. Always remember, we have prayer requests for anything that you need prayer for in your life. Put that on there, and we'll pray for you as a church family. Speaking of our ushers, we have some open slots if you want to join the usher team. What the ushers do is, help people find your seats, also collect the offering during the service, so that if that's something that you're interested in serving with, it would really only be once a month. So let us know. put that on your commitment card and let us know, and we'll get you plugged right into that ministry. We have a couple different things going on this month. Next Sunday, following our service at 11, we're going to have a baptism. If you're interested in being baptized, let us know. If you want to know what that means, feel free to email any one of us or speak to Pastor Ray or any of our counselors to find out more information on that. But next Sunday, following our 11 a.m. service, we'll have it right here on the stage. We have a baptismal we set up here. We also have our Daughters of a King ministry, which is not going to meet this week, but they're going to meet Friday, September 7th, right in here for their last study of the When Women Say Yes to God. It's going to be the last study. But again, it's not going to be this Friday. It's going to be Friday, September 7th. Another Friday thing going on the 31st of August is going to be our backpack party. We're going to get all of the supplies that we've gathered as a church and just pack them in each backpack, and they're going to get all ready for the kids in our community that need them. This is a very good way to be used by God. I know they're having sales everywhere. Staples and, all those different stores are having back-to-school sales. Pencils, pens, school bags, composition books, anything that you think a little child would need for school, bring them to the church, and then we'll pack the bags on Friday the 31st. And finally, I just want to let you know, just to save the date of Saturday, September 8th, is going to be our Crossroads Church picnic. This year is our 10th anniversary picnic. So that's pretty cool. We're going to have it over at Miller Field. There's a picnic area at Miller Field, so we're going to have that Saturday, September 8th. I have something out in the lobby you can fill out if you want to bring a dish. They have grills there, so we can grill hamburgers and hot dogs, or if you want to make something, you can sign up there, and next week we'll have something else you can sign up for. All right, so now we'll have Pastor Miles pray.
Holy God, Lord, let us not rob you, Father God. Lord God, for what you have given us, God. You have blessed us so much. Lord, everything we have is yours. Let us give it back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And after the offering's received, we're going to sing a final song, asking the Lord to reign in all aspects of our lives, so you can stand after the offering is received.
You
blessed.